Well, we are looking at the providence of God, a wonderful subject that God is working, He is in control, and we need to have the right response to life circumstances. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Ruth, that's between Judges and 1 Samuel, we will look at the story of Ruth here. That's the next chapter, God's providence in hard times. And we're not looking at Naomi in this passage. Most of my messages have to do with her in many ways, but looking specifically here at Ruth and her responses in two difficult circumstances. There are two books named for ladies in the scripture. The first one, of course, is Ruth. The second one is Esther, and we will look at that next week. And both of these ladies faced some pretty difficult circumstances. I mean, Ruth faced being a Moabite, and the decisions that she made were amazing. And then, of course, Esther, as a Jewish young woman, placed into the palace of the most powerful person on planet Earth, and then having to take a stand for the people of God. Both of these are remarkable stories that were stories of real deliverance that affected Israel. And that's why God, through inspiration, have given them to us. Let me just say, in general, the people that you know about that have been a blessing to you, both in the Word of God, historically, or in your own life, have been people that have learned to respond right. Now, we all have hard circumstances, right? We all have situations in which God's endeavoring to develop us. God confronts us with His Word. He allows circumstances. We all have opportunities to serve the Lord and so forth. But the key word that you need to have in your mind is, when it comes to the providence of God, is response. How do I respond? You can respond in bitterness. You can respond in questioning. You can respond in frustration. Or you can respond in faith, believing that God is working and having a right attitude toward the people, having love instead of bitterness, having a sense of confidence and hope in the Lord rather than questioning, and having a biblical doctrinal perspective that allows the Lord then to utilize the circumstances so that you really can grow. And so response is very important. And I would say, when you look at Ruth, here's a young lady that just kept responding right. It's an amazing story. And so let me give you a little bit of the background. Most of you know it, but some of you may not. This isn't during the time of the judges, more during the early time of the judges. And so there was no king in Israel. And the nation of Israel had different times of struggle. And at this time, a famine came into the land. God was dealing with the people. And Naomi and Elimelech, instead of letting God teach them whatever He wanted to teach them, they ran. Now, isn't that a typical human response? We escape. We don't face the circumstances. We just try to get out of having to think about it. And that's what happened with these two. So they went to Moab. Moab was not the friend of Israel. Moab had turned on Israel from the moment they came back out of Egypt and were the enemies of Israel. They were distant relatives of Israel. They came about through the incestuous relationship of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, and the daughter. And so God finally had to destroy the Moabites. You find that in Isaiah, and it's a sad thing. But they went to a place of pagan worship. Part of the pagan worship in Moab was to offer your children as a sacrifice. I mean, that's pretty pagan. All kinds of things would go on there. By the way, Moab was just across the Jordan River. When we go to Israel for a tour, I start off going to the Dead Sea. We fly in the afternoon or later evening, and we take the trip over to the Dead Sea. And why do you do that? Well, it's sort of nice to be on the Dead Sea, and it's sort of a neat thing. Plus, everybody's battling jet lag, so we take them the next day to Masada. They've got to go up and walk and do all of that. And then we take them to En Gedi, when this huge long walk up to the falls where David hid and everything. So all day long, they're not riding in a bus. They are moving, 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 moving. And so they're really tired that night and they go to sleep. It works real well. And then that at least is the first step of breaking jet lag. So that's just a little technique I came along with. And it's a fun way to start. And but let me get back to what really matters about that story, is that when you are coming up the Dead Sea, you can look over, it's a clear day, and you can see the hills of Moab. So they're right there. I mean, we're in Israel, and you can see it's now the country of Jordan, but it's it would have been Moab. So it wasn't far away, but culturally, it was very far away. And it was in the enemy territory. And so when that occurred, they had two sons there, and the two sons married. After 10 years, you had both Naomi's husband, Elimelech, and the two sons died. So you have three ladies left. By the way, widows were not dealt with very kindly, especially in Moab. Israel had better laws, of course, because it was a theocracy. But those two widowed daughter-in-laws were a bit of in a problem. And the only way you could survive would be if your family would take you in and take care of you. And unfortunately, in that pagan society, that wasn't a guarantee. But you know the story. Orpah decided to go back to the gods of Moab, to the lifestyle of Moab. But God had evidently worked in Ruth's heart. We don't know the backstory. But clearly, there, even in disobedience, Elimelech and maybe Naomi in particular, had an influence on her as to the reality of Jehovah God. And so she made the decision to follow God rather than go back to her family. And so she was going to go into Israel, and you find, as is mentioned in the book here, she is a Moabitess woman. That's how she is referred to by everybody. Now, that wasn't just a nice thing, like if you're from a different country and you say the country. No, that was it was almost spit out when it was said. She's a Moabitess woman. That's how the attitude would have been. Because Moab had been pretty cruel to Israel. And so she knew she was going to come into a very difficult situation, and yet, if you look with me at chapter 1, verse 21, I'll actually go back to verse 20. Well, let's go back to verse 19 since we're doing it here. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Now, when I preach on this, and Naomi is the focal point, do you see a wrong response here? Who is Naomi blaming? God. Who does she need to have accept responsibility for having this difficult situation? Herself. They made the faithless decision to escape the pressures and go to Moab. She says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty." Now, she may be saying somewhat that the Lord was dealing with her, but the tone of this is not good. "Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" And so she returned with Ruth. Now, she mentions the Almighty. And this is the Almighty is the God who is the all-sufficient one, who is will provide and take care. And she's basically going against the character of God. But you're going to find Ruth trusting where Naomi did not. It's a very interesting story. Let me say this. Each one of us, when we deal with difficult circumstances, if someone we know is not dealing with it properly, that doesn't mean that we have an excuse not to deal with it properly ourselves. Now, what I'm saying here is very important. It's very easy for us to be influenced by someone who has a wrong spirit. And so when we have a hard thing to process, something that's a trial that God's endeavoring to use in our lives, we've got to not let a negative attitude of someone else affect our attitude. By the way, it's very important who you counsel with. It's very important who you choose to be close to. You can be with folks that are needy, but you need to be the one that is endeavoring to meet the need, okay? But it is, to me, it's amazing here how Ruth makes the right response even with Naomi not having the right response. And so that's a very important lesson here. Now, Naomi had heard after all the men had died that God had visited Israel. If you look back up at verse 6 and 7, she came back because she heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And that's even what the name of Bethlehem means. And so God had blessed. And let me just say this. God had been working with his people. They obviously had responded. We don't know exactly when this occurred during all of the account of the judges. There's different speculation on that. But we see clearly in the life of Boaz, a man of faith, a man of understanding, a man who was in right relationship to God. And so that could have been Naomi and Elimelech if they had stayed in the land. But then again, let's go and look at Ruth. God is always able to meet our needs. Now, in this chapter, Mrs. Barba gives two really good illustrations about how God very specifically met needs. They were in their first, not them, but a friend of theirs was in a their first pastorate, and they were making just $50 a week if the funds were available. And their husband had said that they would provide a funeral meal by bringing a large potato salad, and she didn't have anything to make a potato salad with. And then she was keeping a missionary, and she had nothing for extra meals. And it goes into some of the details there where she prayed. She just cried out to the Lord. She specifically said, I need potatoes, eggs, and condiments for the salad. She needed meat for the man. And so family that night that never attended an evening service showed up with two chickens and steaks for you and that speaker man, is how they said it. And then her father had gotten 50 pounds of potatoes and gotten some extra eggs and asked if she needed potatoes and eggs. And so by the time she needed to do everything, she had everything that was needed by just simply asking God. God does things different ways, but you can honestly believe him for the supply of peace, the supply of wisdom, physical needs, and so Ruth was going to believe God. Orpah went back, did not believe God, but Ruth was going to believe God. And in this story, does God meet Ruth's needs? In an incredible way. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And she doesn't get bitter. And let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess, you can't get away from that, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Who had the initiative to get to meet the need? Ruth did. She didn't sit there in self-pity expecting Naomi or anyone else to meet her need. She was trusting as best she knew how in the Almighty God. And what's so interesting is, as was mentioned here in the book, in the providence of God, if you look at verse 22 of chapter 1, they returned. And what was significant about the timing of their return? They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That was a providential work of the Lord. She saw the harvest. And if you know the Old Testament, you have in Leviticus 19 and in Deuteronomy 24 that the owners of crops were to leave the corners and the sides unharvested for the poor. In other words, those that had need, they were to leave enough there for them to partake. And so she was simply going to go and find the places that had that were part of those fields and glean and reap. And so she went, and in verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was in the kindred of Elimelech. Okay, she happens to come at barley harvest time, and she happens to come to the field of Boaz, who's going to end up being the redeemer, deliverer for Ruth. Is those just happenstance? No, because she was trusting the Lord, she was led. Listen, let me just say this, folks. Life will have its ups and downs. Learn to constantly look to the Lord. Keep your attitude right, and you're going to realize that every part of your life is a divine appointment. God will take care of you by providing. He will take care of you by allowing you to have trials. All of it is the provision of God to help you be all that God wants you to be, to meet your deepest needs, to encourage your heart, to help you become the woman that God wants you to be. And so it wasn't accident that she happened to go to the field of Boaz. And so she goes there, and I'm not going to go into the details here of this story, but you know the story that as she's there, Boaz comes and he sees her, asks, and he knew about her, and he tells her, don't glean in another field. You can now glean after the reapers. In other words, you don't have to stay on the outside of the field. You can go in and actually harvest the field for yourself. You remember when she came back that first day, Naomi was absolutely shocked at the amount of grain that she had. No way in the world could you have the edges of a field give you that. Well, then she explained that God had provided by Boaz showing her favor. But I want you to note, after he says that in chapter 2, verse 8, he talks about that he's charged the young men not to touch her and to make sure she's okay. She can drink from the vessels. And then in verse 10, she says, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Notice her humility. She did not expect anything. She was grateful for what God did and was very humble as a stranger, foreigner, very, very appreciative and humble when it came to what Boaz did. That is the way, folks, we got to look. We need to be thankful for every good thing God does for us. You know, don't we expect everything's just supposed to be hunky-dory all the time? And then we get put out when it's not. We've got to understand that if we're walking with God, everything God allows, everything God does is good. And God will take care of us in the little ways and in the big ways. And we will miss out on what God is trying to do if we are not thankful for just the little touches of what he does day by day and have the right attitude. I mean, isn't Ruth a tremendous example of responding right? She had everything against her. She is a widow. She is a Moabite woman. She has no hope in this land. Naomi was a widow. She didn't have anything. They were helpless, and yet she had chosen to trust God, and God brings them at the right time, gets her to the right field, works in the heart of Boaz, putting the pieces together, and of course God has a bigger picture in this whole matter. And what's so interesting, Boaz then talks about her testimony. He says in verse 11, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." So what I am saying about her attitude of trust in the Lord, I'm not just surmising that. That was a testimony that everybody saw. This young lady trusted the God of Israel more than probably the Jews did. Definitely and more than Naomi did. She had just that simple faith and a right attitude, and she responded. And so not only did God start meeting her need, she began to start being a blessing and a challenge. Don't you appreciate people that respond right, that have a good attitude, that don't have a chip on their shoulder, that handle difficulties? I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've been with folks that, man, if I was them, I think, how in the world can you even smile with what you're going through? But they're a sweet spirit of the grace of God, and not at all being bitter against the Lord, but trusting him and just having the joy of the Lord. It's a great encouragement. I remember an older couple in Del Norte, Colorado, that had been missionaries under the China Inland Mission. I was just a kid, and they were retired. They were in their 90s, and they had a little, very meager house in a rather forlorn place of Colorado, if you know where Del Norte is. And they didn't have much, but I'm telling you, you walked in there, and you thought you had just about stepped into heaven. The glow of God was there. I remember as a kid, I just was overwhelmed. They were so excited. They told us everything that God was doing, and of course, all that God had done as they were on the mission field there in China, and everything was glory to God. If I had looked at it from a human standpoint, I'd say, you know, this isn't fair. These people gave their life to the Lord, and they're living in this bare house out of nowhere, you know, with not much. But they didn't know that. They honestly were just extremely happy, excited about even their testimony in their little town and what God was doing. I'm telling you, folks, attitude and response means everything. And this is what happened to Ruth. And so he then invites her even to eat the meal with her laborers. And in verse 17, when she comes back, she beats out the grain and brings an enormous amount of barley to her mother-in-law. And when her mother-in-law saw it, she says, "Someone has taken knowledge of you." And of course, it was Boaz, and it was a real blessing. Now, these last few minutes, I could go over more details, but let me just draw this together as the book of Ruth does. All that Ruth was going through, did God have a bigger picture? Ruth was trusting God. She chose the God of Israel over the gods of the Moabites. She was respecting her mother-in-law. She was willing to be a Moabitess woman, a despised woman in Israel. And yet her testimony caused the people to be encouraged. God brought her at the right time, brought her to the right field, provided for them. And then God put the pieces together for Ruth to have Boaz redeem Elimelech's property, which means that he kept the inheritance in the family of Elimelech. And so the inheritance was not lost. That was very selfless on the part of Boaz. And of course, he married Ruth. He was an older man. She was younger. And they had a child. And what a blessing for Naomi. His name was Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, who was of the line of Jesus Christ. What a picture. Naomi responded right. God put the whole picture together. She didn't understand it all. What she thought in Moab was only the basics of trusting God. She began to see peace after peace come together. And then she probably didn't even before she died realize the significance of what God was going to do in the life of her family, Obed, and then her grandson, Jesse. But through this line was going to come David and the Davidic kingdom. Folks, do not minimize what God will do in the life of someone that trusts the Lord, that responds, that's the word I want you to get, that responds right to hard times. God is, as I've said over and over, His providence. He's working all the time. Right now, God has things happening in heaven and here on earth for your sake. There's a master plan going on. But if you don't respond right, you miss the master plan. Can you imagine how easily Ruth could have gotten off track? Naomi had, but Ruth did not. And God did the great master plan. And God has a significant plan for each one of us. And so if we will respond right to the providence of God, it'll be wonderful to see God not only provide, but to do great things through our lives. And so Ruth is a wonderful picture. And by the way, in the New Testament day, God does a lot more. You say, that's really significant about David. Yes, that's significant. But the point is, the blessing of God and His provision and what He does and the indwelling of the Spirit of God and the Word of God so clearly given to us, we have so much. And if we will trust Him, God will meet our needs each day. So, good thing to discuss. I honestly could have unpacked a lot more there with Ruth, but you can do that there at your tables. And great illustration of really trusting the Lord.